preaching class. And in this preaching class, what they do every once in a while, they would just go and say, okay, it's your turn, and they'd go and call you up. And they'd say, come up here. And they say, bring your Bible and come up here. And you get up on the stage and they say, we're going to give you a scripture. And we want you to pray in the Holy Ghost for 30 seconds. And then I want you to preach on it for 7 minutes. 7 minutes doesn't seem like a lot, but 7 minutes is a long time when you only have 30 seconds. But you have the Holy Ghost. So I went up there this day. He said, it's your turn. He said, come here, bring your Bible. And he gave me this verse in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it talks about the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So I went and got that scripture, and I read it, you know, and he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them who are nothing has been prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Do not sorrow. He says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I started saying, well, hallelujah. So for the first 30 seconds, I'm going, oh, sha-da-da-da-da-ba-da. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, saying, God, you got to give me something here. And so I started preaching on joy. And I started preaching on the strength and joy that God wants to give you. And how in His presence is fullness of joy. And I started preaching on the joy will make you full. And you'll go and walking in the joy of God. And in Isaiah 11 it says, so the ransom of the Lord, or 51:11 it says, so the ransom of the Lord shall return and come unto Zion with singing, with everlasting joy in their hearts, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and singing shall flee away. And I started all, and God just started giving me things on joy. And I made it. I did the 7 minutes, and I go, yes. I'm walking back to my seat. I'm going, that was pretty good. And I got to my seat, and God spoke to me. And He said, now can I preach? Now can I preach? And I sat there for the next 10 minutes in the back as God just started opening up this scripture to me. And God started preaching to me. God started sharing to me. He says, I want to tell you what joy is. And so He went to the beginning of this scripture. And the scripture started out, and He said, and He said to them, and He just stopped. And He said to them, He said, who said? Who said? I'm thinking, oh, Nehemiah, Ezra, Zechariah. I'm sitting there. I'm having this conversation with God as the class is still going on, and somebody else is doing it. And I was thinking, these people, and God said, they were speaking out of the word of the law. They were speaking out of my word. He was saying, I said, I was speaking here. God said, when my word goes forth, I am speaking. When you look at my word, I am speaking. Amen. God told Reinhard Bonnke, the German evangelist who's preached to millions of people in Africa, he said, when my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. When you start to speak the word of God, God is starting to speak. When you take the word and you start to lay it out, God is there to start to speak unto you and I. When we hear somebody preach, when pastor preaches, under the anointing of God, that is the Holy Ghost. That is heaven speaking to you and I. And so many times we get in a place where we go, well, that was a good sermon, preacher. No, that was from heaven wanting to speak to you. Or sometimes you think, well, that was just him. And God's saying, no, that was for you. That was me speaking. And He said unto them, and God was telling me, I'm the one speaking now. I said, yes. And it said, He said unto them, go. And He just stopped again. He said, I said, go. Matthew 28:18-20 says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. There is a go. There is a go that you're going to have to grab a hold of in your life. God wants you to be going. God wants you to be moving. And you have to hang on to that go. Because so many people, they start running their race. They start running and going with God. They get saved and they're so excited. They're so running. And all the, here 6 years later, they just come to church and go home. And they don't have that fire anymore. They don't have the go. They have all kinds of things in life. Even when Jesus was taken up into heaven in Acts 1:11, the angels started speaking. He said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you unto heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." He's saying unto them, "What are you standing here for? He gave you a commission. He told you what to do. And you're standing here looking around at heaven. You're standing here going, that was cool. We saw Jesus. But what are you doing?" And he said unto them, "Go." You and I have to grab a hold of that go and say, "You know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to go no matter what. I'm going to go and do whatever God wants me to do. I'm going to step into that thing." Catherine Coleman said, "God isn't looking for golden vessels. He isn't looking for silver vessels. He's looking for yielded vessels. He's looking for people that say, 'What do you want, God? What can I do? What can I do to serve you? What can I do to fulfill the course? What can I do and walk in all that you have for me?'" Some people look at their abilities and they put the brakes on. They stop. They say, "Well, I can't talk. I can't talk." I know a preacher, when he got saved, he could say about two sentences. He had a problem speaking. He stuttered so bad. And he got baptized in the Holy Ghost and started reading the Word. And his words started flowing. And his stutter went away. Some people say, "I can't talk. I can't do that. I can't stand up in front of people." And not everybody's called to stand up in front of people. Some people say, "Well, I'm too young. I'm too young to do anything. You know, I'll do it when I get older. I'm too young to. I saw a 13-year-old boy preach fire. I couldn't believe the anointing of God on this kid as he was preaching. And he's going, I'm going, I want to get that. I mean, he was preaching. He was preaching and preaching. Don't say you're too young. Don't say you're too young. Jeremiah said he's too young. Different people throughout the Bible said, "I'm too young. I can't talk." Some people say they're too old. "Well, I should have done it when I was 20 years old because I'm 30 now and I'm getting a little bit old. I should have done it when I was 30 because now I'm getting to be 35 and 40 and I'm getting settled. You know, I need to get settled." And they stop. I go around at work and we have these red lines, all these fire lanes all the way. And I was walking down through there and I see these signs where they painted, "Don't park. No parking. No parking." We need that in our spirit. Don't park. Quit parking. Quit coming up with an excuse in your life why you got to stop. Get in a place. Caleb was 85 years old and he said, "There's my mountain. I'm going to take it. I'm not done yet. I'm going to take the mountain that's before me. I'm going to walk in all that God has for me. I am going to do that." Amen. I'm not going to put up the excuses in my life. Amen. Don't go back to where He brought you from. Don't go back into that place. I look at Southern California and I see such an apathy people can get into here. that, well, I've got to go and watch my surfboard. If you're surfing, I am not against surfing. Well, I've got to go and do this and do that. And God's calling them to do something in this city, in this church, in your family. And we get, when we park, and God says, don't park here. This isn't the time for you to park. This isn't the time for you to go. Don't stop the pursuit that's inside of you. Don't stop the passion that's inside of you for heaven. Don't stop the passion that's inside of you for people. You know, I had a couple of friends go to be with the Lord this in the last 2 weeks. One at work, one here. And both of them, it's funny, because I went to see the other friend at work in the hospital, and he's there with joy, wanting to tell people about Jesus. Here he was in intensive care, and he had a Bible study. I'm having a Bible study tonight. I'm calling people up. I'll get some people saved. Yeah. I go up to see Brother Ed Du Bois. And a couple days before he passed, 92 years old and on fire for God. Love God, love people. And he goes, I've got to tell one more person. He tells his brother, I've got to tell one more person. I got to tell somebody. The guy in the bed next to him, he shares Jesus and he gets saved. Three nurses come in and they all get saved. Another guy starts to walk out and he says, you aren't turning your back on me, you're turning your back on Jesus. He wasn't stopping the passion. He knew his time was coming. He knew he was going to go see Jesus, but he said, I'm going to take one more with me. I'm going to take one more with me. Don't stop the passion that God put inside of you when you were young in the Lord. Don't stop the passion for doing the gospel. I look at Paul. The Apostle Paul is standing before King Agrippa. And Paul had a kind of a rough life. He'd gone through some things. He's standing about in front of King Agrippa and he's about ready to die. And he's sharing different things with him. He says, you know what? I've gone through things. In 2 Corinthians 11, 23, it says, I've worked harder. I've been put in prison more often. I've been whipped times without number, faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rod. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I've faced danger from my own people. The Jews as well as the Gentiles have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, in the seas. I face danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights, and I've been hungry and thirsty. I've gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for the churches. Here, Paul's going through all kinds of things he's gone through. He could have said, forget this. It's time for me to retire. It's time for me. I've done my duty. I've served. I've served in this ministry and I've served in that ministry. I think I've done enough. But he says, besides all this, I still have a burden for all of these churches that I've ministered in. I still have a burden for the churches that I've planted. Something inside him still pressed him to go forward. And I like in Acts 16, 2, it says, Paul says, King Agrippa, I think myself happy. I'm a happy man. Here he is after going through all of this. Here he is chained up, going through everything. And he goes, I'm a happy man. I am happy. I have joy inside of me. I have joy inside of me. Acts 26, 16 to 19 says, And he said unto him, he said, but rise and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen of and the things which you will reveal. Here God, he's talking about his conversion. He's talking about what God told him. He said, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, and open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I was not disobedient to what God put inside of me. I wasn't disobedient. I went through it. God has put stuff in us, and he says, go. I want you to go. I want you to run your race. I want you to finish your course. I want you to keep the faith. I want to do something in you. What are we going to do for Jesus? We need to go. I believe there's people that God is just speaking to and saying, you know what, I need to go and find what God wants me to do. I need to go. So I get the first four words of that verse. And he said unto them, go your way. And he stopped again. And I'm getting this in the middle of this class. God said, I have a your way for you. I am not calling you to be like him. Or them, or her. I have a your way. I have a divine calling for you. And you aren't supposed to be like everybody else. You aren't going to be like me. And you can say praise God. You aren't going to be like, you know, I'm not going to be like Pastor Gary. You aren't going to be like other people that God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. He has a your way. He has a your way that he wants to just show you and say, this is the purpose that I have for you. This is what I want you to do. This is the direction that I want you to go in. This is your way. Jeremiah chapter 1, it says in verse 5, then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I can't speak, for I'm a youth. There's one of those things. Oh, we'll stop here. I can't do it. And the Lord said to me, don't say I'm a youth, for you shall go to whom all I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Amen. He told Jeremiah, I have a plan. Before you were even born, I had a plan for your life. And if you're in here this morning, tonight, God had a plan for you before you were even saved. God had a purpose for you before you were even saved. He was going to draw you and pull you out of the pit. And he was going to say, now I want to use you. Now I want you to go and do something for me. Now I want you to walk. I want you to go your way. Go your way. What's that mean? That means you have to get direction from heaven. You have to get direction from heaven. You have to say, God, what do you want me to do? And then listen and allow your spirit, man, allow it to come up inside and allow it to burn and say, that is a direction he wants me to go in. That ministry, whether it's helping with the youth, whether it's downstairs, something will burn and God will say, you're doing it for me here. And he'll go and put something inside you and he'll give you direction and you'll be blessed doing it. Don't let man give you a call. Let God give you the call. Let God give you a call. I shared before, God spoke to me when I was in prayer back in 1986. And I was in prayer one morning and God spoke to me. And he said, would you go to Manchester, New Hampshire and pastor? We were living in Arizona. I'd never been to New Hampshire. I didn't know Manchester, New Hampshire. I had to look it up on a map. But I said to God, I said, sure, I'll do it. It's easy in prayer just to say sure. But I put it on the shelf and I started praying about it. I might have shared it with my wife a little bit, but I just kind of just prayed about it. It was about 3 months later on a Wednesday night at the end of the service. Pastor said, can you come into my office for a minute? Okay, what'd I do? I go into his office and he says, I got to ask you something. He said, we got a small church and a pastor, he's kind of going through it. He's been battling and battling. He needs to come back for rest and just to get his bearings once again, get restored. Sometimes some pastors get beat up. We don't realize how much. And he says, I was wondering if you'd like to go there and take that church, you and your family. And I said, where is it? He said, in Manchester, New Hampshire. My eyes must have gone, you know, huh? He goes, you can go home and pray about it. I said, oh, okay. I'd already been praying about it. But God gave me that. It was my your way. It was my your way to go and walk in, to do that. Amen. The Bible says those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons and daughters of God. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. I'm saying, well, you know, I don't. God has a future for your life. And you might be sitting here tonight saying, well, you know, I don't know if I really answered it. I might have failed or I might have gone and laid that thing down or it burned in me for years, but I don't know if it's there now. It's there because His callings and His giftings are given without repentance. It's there for you tonight that God can go and touch and stir and use you. And He said unto them, go your way. Go your way. Find the your way that God has for you. Find the go that God has for you. And then He turned and He said, eat the fat and drink the sweet. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. Another version says, eat what is rich and drink what is sweet. And God spoke to me and said, you've got a lot of fat. I know. You've got a lot of fat. You've been given a lot of sweet. God said, I have given my word to you. And you've been under powerful ministry. He says, and I've given you the sweet that you have put inside of you. Take that. Take that. Take what is sweet. Take what is good. Take the Word of God. The Word of God is rich. It is so rich. When you start to get into the Word of God and start to let it just starts to burn inside of you. It starts to come inside of you. You sit and you say, oh God, I would like this gift and that gift. If you want those gifts, you need to read the Word and consume the Word with everything you got. Because that's what triggers it. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and marrow, or spirit, and the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God, it cuts. It's there. It's powerful. It's so real. And He says, I've given you my Word. And I've given you ministry that you can sit under and you can get. You need to take that and consume it. Consume it in your life. Proverbs 4:20-22 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. He says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. God, when He was speaking to Jeremiah, He took forth and He touched his lips. And He said, I put my words in your mouth. I put my word in your mouth. God wants to touch our lips. and get the Word of God inside of us like never before. God wants to take the Word of God and let it start to burn inside of us. Burn inside of us. When you put the Word of God inside of you and you use it, it'll break every barrier. It'll break every chain. It'll break those things that are standing in front of you. All those things will start to come down because the Word of God is starting to live inside of you. The Word of God isn't meant to just be sitting there and we just carry it once in a while to church. It is supposed to start to burn inside of you. Burn. And He said unto them, eat the fat and drink the sweet. Send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. The Message Bible says, share it with those who don't have anything. And God started speaking to me as I was sitting there. He says, this is a heart of compassion. You need a heart of compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion over and over and over. When you read Jesus, He said He was moved with compassion when He looked at them as a sheep without a shepherd. He was moved with compassion and He healed the sick. He was moved with compassion and he fed the hungry. He was moved with compassion for the poor. You know, I came back from Africa here this last month, and Africa, I mean, I've gone down to Mexico on some missions trips, but Africa kind of took it up a level. And I was going, whoa. As I go on, and you see these people we got to minister to, it was just amazing. We went to do medical missions, and here's little kids that their feet are getting eaten by these worms that burrow into the bottom of their feet because most of them don't go and wear shoes. Or if they do, they've got big holes in them and this flea does this thing to it. And their skin's falling off. They can lose their feet. They can lose their toes. And we went and scrubbed their feet with this medicine. And as we scrubbed them, I remember a little 7-year-old girl and going and starting to scrub her feet, kneeling down, scrubbing her feet. And her feet just start bleeding in my hands. And I'm going, oh God, just heal her. Touch her and heal her. Somebody said, what did you get out of going? I said, that's what I got to do. I got to help a little girl. As we went and gave and we ministered to these different people, we go into a widow's villages and the Bible, you know, says to help the widows and help the orphans. And the widows over there, they're left. There's AIDS and all the, you know, all the men, they die off and these widows are just left. Nobody supports them. Nobody supports them. I got a letter this week. They said, yeah, this one widow died because she got sick and they didn't have the money to take her to the doctor. And the pastor didn't know about it until it was too late. The poverty is just some. We went into this one widow's village and we got to help them and we brought in sugar and beans and rice. You did. You know, as you gave, you got to. And we went and got to help them. They live in these mud huts, and these little mud huts, they just fall apart. They only last about a year and a half, 2 years, and the rains start beating. Because it's just basically, I saw how they build them. They take sticks and they frame up these sticks, just sticks from trees, and then they go and pack it with mud. And that's the walls. And then they put the reeds on the top. And they have to go and stand in the corner when it rains or sleep in the corner because it's just pouring inside as much as it is outside. And we got to go, you got to pay to go and have another hut built for one of the widows. $700 to get a new house. Got a house with a tin roof. Compassion. God said, you need compassion for people. You need compassion. I saw the pictures as they were bringing the supplies to this widow and she just had a smile on her eye. And they said, they're sending me more pictures as it's getting built. And she's so happy. We bought her bedding so she didn't need to sleep on the dirt anymore. And she's up on a bed. She slept in the dirt. We had to go into these huts and spray them all down because of those fleas and everything. We went into like 21 huts one day and just sprayed them all down. Moved with compassion. Send portions to those that have nothing. Nothing's been prepared. It was pretty awesome. And God just saying, this is my gospel. The gospel isn't the lights and the glimmer. This is my gospel, is meeting people's needs. Whether it's over there or it's here. Whether it's in there or whether it's in Mongolia. I'm going to Mongolia in 2 weeks. Wherever that you meet people's needs, send portions, lay our lives down for others. Let the compassion of Christ start to burn in you. I was going down to the street the other day, and sometimes I give to people on the corner, sometimes, and I just felt, I got to give to this person. Got out of the car and said, here. Because you start to allow that, because we can get hard. We can get hard. I've done it. You know, we think, oh, go get a job. God says, you don't know what they're going through. Have compassion. I remember once, I'll share this because it just came up, but when we were pastoring back east, I wasn't always the love king, you know. My wife was going through it. She'd been assaulted by the enemy. And she was just feeling all this pressure. And when you're a pastor, you're a pastor's wife, you get some assaults sometimes that are pretty tough. And she was going through it. And me and my compassion was, suck it up. You'll make it. And I was at work and I just got off the phone with her and she was just kind of feeling all this stuff. And I'm just going, ah. And God spoke to me. I'm glad I can still hear the voice of God. He spoke to me and he said, you don't even know what she's feeling. You don't even know what she's going through. He said, you want to feel it? And it was like God lifted his grace off me for about 3 seconds. And I went, hmm. And then he came and then he did it again. I said, oh God, I'm sorry. I said, oh God, I'm sorry. He said, now go home and minister to her. And I went home and I ministered the love of God and the grace of God to her. We need compassion, even for our loved ones. We need compassion for people around us. Send portion. God said, you need compassion. As I was sitting there in that class, he just started hitting me with this. Get my love in you for other people. Get my love inside of you that I had. He said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them for which nothing's been prepared. And he said, this day is holy unto the Lord. He said, this is a holy call. This is a holy call. This isn't something that you just hear and it tickles you. This isn't something that you just kind of invent it up. He said, this is a holy call, a call that I'm giving you. I'm giving you. This is God speaking, just as he did to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, do what I've called you. Don't say that you're a child, you're a youth. Don't say you can't speak. Do what I've called you. Paul, when he got knocked off his horse and the light came, he said, Paul, go do what I called you to do. Peter, sitting on a roof, fasted and praying, and God says, I want you to go to the Gentiles, Peter. I want you to go. I have a plan. I have a purpose. I have a your way to you. And it's a holy calling. It's not just something that you're going to make up and you're going to do. It's something that I'm putting inside of you and it's going to burn inside of you. And it's a purpose that I have for you. And God has that for every single person. A holy calling that he brings down from heaven. And you get to the place where you say, you know what, I'll follow after his call, I'll follow after his purpose, I'll follow after anything he's got. What do you have for me, God? What do you have for me? I'll do it. I could take my wife, my daughter that was 2 years old, my other daughter was 6 months old, and say, let's move, and move 2,000 miles across the country. And then move 3,000 miles across the country. As you go and say, God, whatever you have, just open the doors. Here am I. Send me. See, there's a voice from heaven that's speaking to us. I believe God wants to stir this church like never before. It's going to be from people saying, I understand it's a holy call. Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Send portions to them which nothing's been prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Do not sorrow. Don't sorrow when you're going through things in the midst of your call. Don't sorrow when we're going through it. He says, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And he goes, now we'll talk about joy. I'm sitting there in the back going, ah. The guy goes, now I'll talk to you about joy. John 15:11 says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy is going to come upon you. The joy from heaven. The joy from Jesus. It's going to come upon you as you do these things. As you start to walk out in this call, it's going to be there. And my joy will remain in you. You won't lose my joy. You won't lose my... because it'll always be there in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your temptation, in the midst of anything that you're going through. That's why I always say, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're going through, you're going to go through. You're not going to park there. It won't be like that. That chapter will close and you'll go to the next step as you just keep hanging on to God because He is faithful. He is faithful. As you go through hard things, as you go through the trials, I like Habakkuk 3:17. It says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the flocks of the field yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, he goes and he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord God. I will joy in the God of my salvation. We need a yet praise. No matter what you're going through, whether it's with your marriage, yet I will praise the Lord. I will joy in God. Whether it's your job or you don't have a job, yet I'm going to praise Him. Your kids are going crazy. They're just acting like you 20 years ago. Yet I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him. You know, I've come to church before. And I'll be honest, I didn't feel like praising God. You ever have those days? You get up and you're coming to church and the car breaks down, the dog bites you, the kids are going crazy and you and your wife are kind of going a little bit. Yeah, you have one of those and you come into church and they go, oh, let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. I don't feel like it right now. And they start praising God. And you're going, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I want to hit somebody. Praise you, Jesus. Maybe it's just me, but I don't know. You're in that place. But then about halfway through the worship, halfway through the praise, God starts coming down and getting inside of you. And your hand starts going up a little bit. Oh, God, thank you. Your grace got me here. Oh, God, thank you. I will praise you in the midst of everything I'm going through. And then after about another song or song and a half, you can actually turn to your wife and go, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Yet, I will praise Him. And the joy of the Lord comes on you. And in the midst of the service, the next thing you know, all those things start to slide away. All those things start to go. You know, you need to stir up joy at some times. Because it seems like you've been pounded left and pounded right and pounded here and pounded there. And you have to stir up the joy. You have to get to that place where you go, okay, Father, I praise you. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. That means David went off to the side and said, oh, Father, I bless you, I bless you, I bless you. Saul wants to kill me. I'm having a hard time and I'm not liking this, but I will praise you. And he stirred up himself in the Lord. I like what Pastor Mark says when he says you have to stir up joy. You have to stir up laughter. You have to go, ha, ha, ha. When you don't feel like, sometimes you just got to go, ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, ha, ha. And you just have to laugh. You have to laugh. If I don't laugh, I'm going to cry. Ha, 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 ha. I'm going to laugh. Ha, 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 ha. And you have to just laugh. And what it does, it gets your eyes off your situation. It gets your eyes off all you're going through. It gets your eyes on heaven once again. And joy starts to come up when all of a sudden that will start to burn and come out of you. And it'll give you something, amen, that you can go another day, that you can see that God is real, and you can grab a hold of His faithfulness. The Holman's Bible says, do not grieve because your strength comes from rejoicing in the Lord. Your strength will come from rejoicing in the Lord. What makes heaven happy? What makes heaven happy? Heaven is happy when they look down and they see a lost soul. A lost soul that's bound for a devil's hell. One of God's servants just reaches out there and snatches them from the grasp of the devil, snatches them and pulls them into the kingdom of God. All heaven rejoices. All heaven says, I'm throwing a party because that one got pulled out. That one got pulled out. I know heaven threw a party when I got saved. Heaven threw a party because I was running with the devil and somebody pulled me out. Somebody shared the gospel with me. Somebody told me that God was real. The devil might be accusing you here tonight. You might be going through all kinds of things. Condemnation might be tormenting you. Your failures might be looking you straight in the eye and stacking up in front of you. And you say, I failed here and I failed there. But you are a brand that Christ has plucked out of the fire. You have been loved of God and He's pulled you out of the fire that you can go and walk in. And you can walk in the joy of heaven. Amen. Likewise, I say unto you in Luke 15, it says, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repents. One sinner. Amen. I'll tell you, when joy comes, the spirit of evangelism will come upon a church. The spirit of evangelism will come upon people. It'll be released upon a church. There'll be a deep hunger for souls that'll come into people and say, I've got to do something. I've got to call somebody. I've got to tell somebody about Jesus. And that'll start to burn there. It'll get out of control. Your evangelism programs will start to get out of control. That's good. We don't need more programs. We need God to get inside of us. We need that scripture to get inside of us. That we start to walk in it and we start to see. And every service starts to get filled with expectation. There's an expectation I shared here a couple of weeks ago. We went and I got saved in a revival, a small church. It was 150 to 180 people. And God started moving. 1 week alone, 75 people came in and got saved. That church jumped up to 325 people. And the power of God was just moving and everybody was just, whoa! There's an expectation. What's God going to do this week? What's God going to do this Sunday? What's God going to do this Wednesday? Let's do it Thursday. Why not do it now? Let's go out in the streets and find somebody and tell them about Jesus. You know, when you're expecting, lots of times you don't... You know, I was thinking of Angie when I thought of this a few months ago. You know, she's expecting and I'm going, I don't see anything. You know? She goes, I'm expecting. She was all happy. She was expecting. But I didn't see anything. But all of a sudden, it started showing up. I go, she's expecting. She's not here tonight. She was expecting until all of a sudden she delivered the baby. And God in one service like this can put something inside of you that you take it home and you go, I'm expecting. I'm expecting God to do something in my life. I'm expecting, amen, and God to start to move. I'm expecting, amen. People start crying out to God in the middle of services like that. I remember having praise and worship service. And we were in a praise and worship service and we got ready to get done with our 3 fast and 2 slow songs. God said, I'm not done. I'm not done. He told me that. I said, okay, but I got to preach. They've heard you preach. I'm not done. I said, well, let's sing another song. And the presence of God started happening. The presence of God started coming into the service. And we started just worshiping. People started getting slain in the spirit in their seats. Boom, 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 boom. People started coming to the altar. God started giving words. God, there's a visitor there that morning. I never got to preach. There's a visitor. And all of a sudden, God gives me a word for him. This man was like 400 pounds. I said, can I pray for you? He said, I need you to come here. And he got up there. I said, God wants to deliver you from a spirit of gluttony. That's not a good word. I mean, I don't even know the guy's name. God wants to set you free. And he just started, a tear came out. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, touch this man right now. Set him free. Take that demon spirit off him now. Simple prayer. I said, thank you. God loves you. That guy lost 80 pounds in 5 weeks. He lost another. He just, boom. He came up to me 2 weeks later. He said, I've got to get new clothes. He came up and he said, you know, I used to eat 1/2 gallon of ice cream every night. I used to drink, I forgot how much soda, I mean, just tons of soda. He said, and that drive just left me. God has a plan to do things. I believe God wants to do things like that all the time. Set people free. Set them free from pornography. You know, that thing that drives them to look on their phone or look on the computer and look in places they don't want to look. Set them free from doing things that they know they shouldn't. God wants to set them free and do miracles. This isn't in my notes, but God wants to do miracles. And that's why he says, go your way. Find out what I have for you. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. Send portions to those for which nothing's been prepared. For this is a holy calling. This day is holy unto the Lord. And don't sorrow. Don't sorrow, for the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And you'll be able to run the race like Brother Ed and go 90 years. I go, I've got 30, 40 more years. I've got 40 more years. I just remember a story of Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth, his wife died. He was in his upper 50s then. His wife died and he sat there and he was grieving in his house for a while. And he was grieving and he looked across at the kitchen table and here was a stack of invites like that deep. And he said, I've got to go do what I'm called to do. And he got up. And the rest is history. The man shook the world the last 30 years of his life. And he's still shaking the world today from heaven. His word and his spirit and all that he did. Amen. God has a your way for you. And I believe it's time for us to run our race. I believe it's time for us to say, God, what do you have for me? I believe as you touch heaven and you ask heaven, He's going to start opening doors from you, for you. You might think, I didn't plan on doing this. But all of a sudden, it opens. And God opens the doors. I've just in this year said, God, you're just kind of opening these doors. Went to Africa for 3 weeks. I'm over there and another guy says, hey, I need you to go to Mongolia. We're doing a pastor school over there. The nation's just opening right now. There's only 500 churches in the whole nation. We're going into the capital. We got with the United Federation of Evangelical Churches. They're bringing hundreds of pastors and leaders. This guy has a mandate in his heart to plant 200 churches by the year 2020 for the gospel. He says, I need you to come here. We're going to go over and we're going to preach 4 to 6 hours a day to all of these pastors and leaders. Then we're going to go to churches at night. We're going to preach revivals. There's 4 of us and we're going to split. He said, I'm going to put you on a train on Wednesday and you're going to go across to the other side of the country to the next biggest city and you're going to preach there for 3 days. I said, glory. I mean, Mongolia, that's, I mean, I had to go look at that. Where's that? Right between China and Russia. Right in a place that they can go and have revival and reach the nation. So over there, and another pastor called and said, you want to come to the Philippines? Just doors opening up. Honduras, Indonesia. All these in the last 3 months. And I'm just saying, God, I'll go. You just got to go and make a way. That's all. If He calls you, He'll pay for it. He'll make a way. He'll open those doors. And you stand and you walk in what has He has for you. God has a your way for Chula Vista. God has a plan for you here, and it's time for you to stir it up. It's time for you to stir it up. I was going to end this about 10 minutes ago, but God wants you to stir it up. Say, what can we do? We don't want to just come to church, go home, watch reruns of something over and over and over. God wants to do something inside of you. And God wants to say, I have a plan for you and a purpose for you. I have something that I want to show you. And it might just start as a little ministry right here that you say, well, I can help straighten up chairs, or I can help do this, or I can help do that. I can help in the sound booth. I can help anywhere. Anywhere you have, Lord, here am I, send me. And what He'll do is He'll touch you. Next thing you know, something else will open. Something else will open. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Amen? Why don't we stand tonight? Hallelujah. Father, I thank You right now. I thank You that Your joy is in this place. I thank You that You have a purpose and a plan. I thank You that You are going to touch people right now. You're going to restore joy in lives right now. Those that are going through issues in life, You're going to restore them right now. You're going to restore strength right now in the name of Jesus. You're going to restore vision right now. By the blood of Christ, I pray in Jesus' name that You speak to people, that You speak to them in the sweet times of the night, when they're driving down the road, when they're in the shower, I don't care. Father, speak to them and start to give them that birth, that new life inside of them. Birth what You have for them, Father. Show them, Lord God, a holy calling that You have for each and every person right now. I speak the blood of Christ over each and every person right now. I thank You, Father, for what You're doing. I thank You, Father, that You help us, Lord, that it's not from us, but it's from You. And I thank You, Father, right now that we're going to walk out in joy. We're going to walk out in happiness. We're going to walk out and see all that You have for us. Father, we exalt You right now. We exalt You right now. We praise You right now. Oh, hallelujah, Father. The power of God, an anointing of God. I pray in Jesus' name, let your anointing run down upon people right now. Just as it ran down on Aaron's beard, let it run down over people tonight. Let them be anointed this night. Let them be changed this night. Take off the heavy burden as they've labored and worked, Lord. Take off heavy burdens and give them joy to labor for you right now. Father, I praise you. I praise you tonight and I thank you tonight. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Why don't we just take a few minutes, maybe 5 minutes, and just give Him glory. Give Him glory. We aren't going to pray long tonight because I've talked long. You should have listened quicker. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We praise you for who you are. We thank you, Father. Touch us right now. Touch this church right now.